Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 9. Proverbs chapter number 9. I'm going to read the entirety of this text, walk through the message tonight, ask God to speak to us, give me liberty and clarity of thought, hopefully. You guys are very patient with my mind. If I don't have it on paper in front of me, I lose it. In Proverbs chapter number 9, if you're there, say amen. Starting in verse number 1, he says, "Wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars." So you see the reference here, the "she," on several occasions. Who is that? Who is it that's talking? She, who is that? Wisdom, right? "Wisdom hath builded her house, she." So we realize when we see that, that "she" is talking about wisdom, okay? Just kind of stick that in your mind. "She hath killed her beast, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens, she cried upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth the scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and thy years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. A foolish woman is clamorous." You notice the change here now. "A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple." So you understand now when we hear the "she," we're not talking about the foolish. We're not talking about the wise. We're talking about the foolish, right? "So she is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high place of the city to call passengers who go right on their way. Who is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell." This morning, we dealt with the gospel, that call to salvation, the gospel message. We, of course, said the gospel is what? Good news. The gospel is good news. So a false gospel is fake news. Amen? That's what it is. And I was considering and thinking about our message this morning and wondering how many, you know, Paul said, "I marvel that you are so soon turned away from him." How is it that they're turned away? How is it that men are led to a false gospel? Why do some get saved and so soon turn away from the truth? I hope tonight to be able to communicate this message in a clear and effective way, that we might gain some understanding and some wisdom this evening concerning the simple. In Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speech deceive the heart of the simple." By their good words and fair speech, they deceive the heart of the simple. Now, beloved, in every group, there are three groups of people. It is a fact that in every group, the majority are simple. Now, don't take offense tonight. I will let you determine which group you're in. That's up to you, and I'm not insinuating or implying anything. But the facts are, in a church, in a group, in a gathering of people, regardless of who they are or where you are, that the majority of the people are simple. And over the passing of time, some of those people are moved over here into the group that exercises and displays wisdom. And then over the passing of time, there are some who are moved over here into a group that exercise and display foolishness. Proverbs calls them scorners. The scorner. But everybody starts out simple. Now, although we look at that as a derogatory term, there certainly is some negative connotation to it. But it doesn't have to be negative. Understand, everybody starts out simple. But tonight's message, the title is The Selection of the Simple. And that is, everyone has to make a decision. Everyone has to decide. Are they going to join the group here that exercises and displays wisdom? Or are they going to join the group here that exercises and displays foolishness? For a few minutes tonight, as I speak on the selection that the simple has to make, I don't know if you caught it in our text, but there was two verses that were exactly the same except for one word, the word and. There was two verses in there that they stated the exact same thing. In verse number 4 and verse number 16. Now, I pointed out to you that in verses 1 through 12, who is it that's talking? Wisdom. Wisdom's talking. So you see there in verse number 4, wisdom is saying, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him. So wisdom is over here saying, hey, are you simple? Come here. You need understanding? Come here. Let me show you what to do. Let me show you how to do this. Wisdom is calling, right? But now look down in verse number 16. Who is it that began to talk in verse number 13? The foolish. So in verse number 16, we see the exact same thing. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him. So you have somebody over here too. Do you see it? And they're saying, oh, are you simple? Hey, come over here. Come over here. Let me show you what to do. But the simple do not realize that at the end of that foolishness is death. At the end of that foolishness is hell. But both are calling unto the simple. So the simple have a selection that they need to make. Beloved, I don't really have an outline for you. I am going to give you some thoughts, and we're going to try and talk to you. First of all, we're just going to kind of look at defining and who is simple. Whoso is simple. So who is simple? Again, it's not necessarily a negative or derogatory term. If you stay simple, it could be negative, derogatory, but it's not on the onset. It's not initially. Well, the definition of the simple, Pastor Scott Hanks, who is my brother-in-law, the founder of Mercy and Truth Ministries and the pastor at Heritage Baptist Church, is a gentleman. He memorized the book of Proverbs as a teenager. And to this day, can still quote, word for word, the book of Proverbs. Now, he did not memorize it when he was a teen and then just remembered it the rest of his life. He spends time every single morning quoting the book of Proverbs so that he doesn't lose it. What I'm saying is that he has a better grasp. He has the strongest understanding of wisdom and the book of Proverbs of anybody alive that I know. Now, there's a lot of people I don't know. granted. So maybe that's not saying much. I don't know. But he always defined the simple this way. He said, the simple is someone that is easily allured or easily deceived. Easily allured or easily deceived. And that would make sense if we look at the verse that I read you in Romans. It says, and by good words and fair speech, deceive the heart of the simple. The simple is deceived easily, allured easily. That's why we teach children. You don't get in the van with the nice man with the candy. Because they are easily allured, easily deceived. The Hebrew definition of this word, simple, means silly, seducible, allurable, deceivable, enticeable, persuadable, open, roomy. So who is the simple? I think it's safe to say and can be backed up with Scripture that the young are simple. The young are simple. This is the natural state of man. As we're born into life, we're born in and we're simple. That's just the way we are as young children. But also, I want you to understand as a church that those that are new Christians, they've just been born again. They're young in the Lord. They're simple concerning the things of God and understanding the battle between Satan and the Lord and the Holy Spirit in our lives. And they're simple concerning these things. And they're easily allured and they're easily deceived. Listen, church, this is why Satan is after the young. Because they're easily allured and they're easily deceived. They're after the young of our church and those that are just getting saved. They try and work so hard. That's why the Apostle Paul says, how soon are you turned away? Why? Because Satan's after them. While they're young, while they're easily allured, and while they're easily pulled away. And it's our job as a church family to encourage and strengthen and train and bring up the young in the Lord that they might have a foundation and get to a place where they're not easily allured. But let me tell you tonight, as a church family and our visitors this evening, Satan wants your children. Satan wants to destroy the lives of your young. And let me encourage you, don't be naive. We live in a wicked world. The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. Don't be naive to think, well, your kids would never do that. Well, your kids would never look at that, or your kids would never be involved in those things. They're simple. Your kids are easily allured and easily deceived. You need to be careful what they're watching on television. You need to be careful as a parent what games they're playing online. Or offline. You need to be careful as a parent and be aware of what apps that they have on their phones, what activities they're involved in on the web, because kids are easily deceived. Alice Johnson was found safe in the Holiday Inn Express in Georgia, 5 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. The police said Johnson disappeared sometime after 10 p.m. the night before from her East Orange County home. Her parents reported her missing when they went in to get her up for church, and she wasn't in her bed. John Peter Byrons, who was 24, of Illinois, met up with Alice while playing Minecraft online. He drove from Illinois. Alice snuck out of her window, climbed into a car with him, and drove away. It's only by God's grace that that girl's life was not destroyed. That they found her in less than 24 hours. You need to be careful who your kids are playing with, who they're communicating with online, what games that they're playing. Oh, it's just all their friends. Don't be naive. The devil is targeting our youth because they're simple. Listen, parents, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, and I'm not saying that there's something that you would be able to watch that your kids can't watch. What I'm saying is this, that there may be something that you would watch that you could come away from and you would be okay. You would realize that it's false, and you would realize, and maybe even you confess and say, man, that was wrong and I shouldn't have watched that, and you get it right. But the mind of your child is impacted. And they're carrying that with them. Abraham went down to Egypt during a famine. He came away from that and he was fine. But in the heart of Lot, an appetite grew. So that when Lot was given a choice, where do you want to go? He says, I want to go that way. And when your kids are given a choice later in life of whether to do this or to do that, it might be our fault as parents for giving them an appetite for the world. Because we didn't use some wisdom and some prudence and see the evil. We came away from it and we were fine. But what did we do to the simple? What did we do to the simple? Because the simple have a choice to make. And on one hand, they have wisdom calling them. And on the other hand, they have foolishness calling them. And they're going to make a choice. Proverbs 7:7 says, I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths. The simple are the young. Now I know, kids, especially the older ones here, you don't like that, being called simple. You're not simple, you're street smart, man. You know what dope is and tight. You know you got street cred. You chilling. You like your tight jeans, your skinny jeans. You know how to be in style. I was going to say something about dope, but I'm going to leave that alone. Kids, you're simple. That's the facts of life. You're simple. Just the other night, I met with my family, and I told all the way up to my 19-year-old daughter, no devices in private, anywhere. Even my 19-year-old daughter, you can't use your phone in your room. You can't use your laptop in your room. No devices in a private room. If you're going to be on a device, you're going to be in public space. Why? Because it's my job to protect them. They're simple. If something happens to them, it's not their fault, it's mine. If they get into something online that they shouldn't be involved in, it's not their fault, it's mine. They're simple. And I'm supposed to be protecting them. Parents, don't be naive. The young are simple. They're easily allured. They're easily deceived. The simple believe every word, the Bible says. In Proverbs 14:15, the simple believe every word. You know, you could convince a child just about anything. Especially the younger they are, the more simple they are, right? Barak was excellent in school. He was a straight-A student. His mom, Lauren, described him as chill, studious. He would come home from work and go directly to his homework, complete all of his homework, and then go directly to his chores, and complete all of his chores so that he could go and get online. He was very smart. He built a computer from scraps that he got from his neighbor's trash and from people at work and so on at his mom's work. And he took scraps and built a computer himself. He would get online and he would do his stuff so that he could get online. And he began to play an online game. Mostly his friends, kids from school, except for a couple of people here and there that he didn't know. One of them was a what he said was a 17-year-old. The server administrator named Lewis, he said he was 17, but he was successful, that he was a computer whiz and had began a business at 15, and it was very successful, and he did his school traveling. That's why he could be online all the time, because it was part of his work, and he just ran the server as a break and played these games, and he would talk. They had this mutual love for tech, and Lewis began talking to Barak, and Mom, she would come by the room, and they had a rule that the door had to be open. When she would come by the room, and she would look in, and he would be there playing the game, and there would be a chat box up, and there would be a little camera viewing people and things, and they'd be playing this game, and she would come in the room, and Lewis would say, "Hello, Mom, how are you doing today? How was work?" All casual and fun. But before long, Lewis' influence on her son began to be evident when Mom began to hear things like, "Lewis says I don't need to finish school. He could get me a job at Microsoft. Lewis says that since I don't drink or smoke and that I do well in school, I should be allowed to play games as long as I want to." Mom began to be concerned about the influence of Lewis, and she talked to people at work. She was a school teacher, and she talked to fellow teachers, and some of them said, "Oh, it's just boys. That's the way they are. Don't worry about it." She was very concerned. She actually called the police and said, "There's something, this just doesn't seem right, this unusual interest in this conversation." And the police said they would look into it, but they never called her back. Barak's school started to slip. His chores started not getting done. Barak said, "Lewis says that I shouldn't have to do chores. It's these triplets that make the mess. I shouldn't have to clean it up." Mom's concern was heard, and Lewis sent a phone to Barak via carrier. Barak got this phone and was given instructions by Lewis to record all the conversations that his mom had about him so that Lewis would know everything that Mom was saying. Barak did that for him. This successful, what was supposed to be a 17-year-old boy, and he developed a friendship. Barak never suspected anything when he was told by Lewis that he was sick. Lewis said, "I'm sick. I'm unable to run my company. I'm going to be dying before too long, and Barak, I want to give you all my tech. I want to give you all my stuff. I want to turn my business over to you." So Barak lied to his mom and dad and said he was going to a friend's house, and he went out and got into an Uber that was paid for by Lewis. He got in this car and went a long, long ways. I don't know how many miles it was, but it was another city that he was in. Then later that evening, Barak called his mom and said, "Hey, I'm going to spend the night. We're in the middle of working on this and doing this." And Mom said, "Okay, you can spend the night," thinking he was at a friend's house. You see, the simple believeth every word. I don't know when it registered to Barak that Lewis was lying, but in less than 24 hours, Barak, a 14-year-old boy, pictures of him taped to a chair with his throat cut, were sent to his siblings. Lewis called the police on himself and said, "My friend and I got into an altercation, and I'm the only one still alive." He obviously is in prison today. But the simple believe every word. That's why it's important we are careful what they hear. You need to think long and hard about what you allow to come across that TV. There's things being taught that you don't even realize. And when you're conditioned to it, you don't even hear it. There's an agenda, friend. There's an agenda that's pushed on the television programs that is conditioning your children to adopt and believe in this secular, humanist, worldly philosophy. And it is 100% contrary to biblical teaching. Psalms 110, kids. Any of you kids know what that is? My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You, by the grace of God, will have the courage to turn away when you are enticed by the foolish, by the scorner that's over there calling you towards the world, that's calling you towards that foolishness, that's saying, hey, are you simple? Are you looking for something? I'm over here. Would you come? If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Consent thou not. Beloved, the simple. When I read this definition, the Hebrew definition, and I was wondering how many of you might have caught those last two words of the Hebrew definition where it says open, roomy. And I looked at that, I'm like, what? Open? Roomy? Here's the thing, beloved. The simple have an open mind. They have an open mind. Here, Caleb, come here. They have a roomy mind. They got an open mind and lots of room in there. You know what that is? That means the mind's empty. Right? There's not a lot of room in there. There's not a lot of stuff clogging it up. It's open. It's roomy. It's ready to receive. It's ready to soak it up. That's the simple. They're open. They've got an open mind. They're roomy. The young, that's the way they are. And they receive this instruction. I'm going to use you again in a minute, but I'll let you sit down there so you don't have to sit in front of everybody. Don't go too far. They've got a room that needs to get filled up. You see, beloved, the older people get, the less open their mind is. One of the hardest things that we have as Christians when we're talking to people about the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is to get past their closed mind. Why is it that something like over 80% of people that make a decision for Christ are under the age of 17? Why? Because they don't have a closed mind yet. It's mind-boggling when you hear and think about, I mean, I'm sure you guys all heard about that lady that wants people that don't wear a mask to be charged for murder. If you don't wear a mask, you're gonna be charged for attempted murder. It's okay to kill babies. But if you don't wear a mask, we're going to charge you for attempted murder. You see, her mind's full. Her mind's closed. You look at it and you wonder, how can she possibly think that stuff? How can that, I mean, the foolishness. And you look at the world today and you see ideas like that and you think, how can they possibly think that stuff? And I'll tell you why, because for several generations now, kids have gone with an open mind to the public institutions where people have sat and taught them day after day after day the religion of evolution, and that we all came from nothing, that there's no absolutes, that the Bible isn't true, that we don't need to pray, we don't need to look to God, and God's not the authority, and you can do what you want, and if you think it's right, it's okay. They took their open minds and they filled them with that. And now their mind's closed to the truth. The simple are void of understanding. They need instruction, and we need to give them the right kind of instruction. This is where the Holy Spirit spoke to me about the fact that we need to have Sunday school. We need to be instructing these kids in the truth to try and overcome this worldly philosophy that's being pumped into them, that their minds are being filled with. And let me implore you, let me encourage you, if you have opportunity to educate, and I praise God, Mo, for you taking this step and for God opening this door for you to be able to train your kids. The public schools aren't giving them much of an education. And I know that as parents, sometimes there's a lot of fear and apprehension, and I'm not sure how to do it, and I don't know if I can give them a good education, and I don't want my kids to be dumb, and I'm not sure if I can do it right. Listen, there's helps out there. There's people that will help you. You can do it. And it's not you. You don't have to do very good to do better than what they're already getting. Okay? Now, I would encourage you to do your best. Don't be satisfied with just ho-hum. You give your kids an education, and don't be lazy about it. And you make them get out of bed, and you make them do the work and complete it all and have some accountability and do it right. But let me encourage you, you can do it. And listen, it is vitally important that you do. Because they are getting an education. Their open minds that are roomy are getting filled up with the world's philosophy. They're going to get to the place where they're closed and won't even talk to you as a parent about what's right or wrong. 15-year-old Isabella, who's on national news, cries through her tears. And I quote, she says, "I literally hate my family so much. I don't want to live here. I hate living in Louisiana. I hate living around these racists. I want to just leave." Her parents were just trying to have a conversation with her about the Black Lives Matter movement, and that this looting and rioting was not right. But this 15-year-old girl no longer had an open mind to truth. Now, black lives do matter. White lives matter. Every life matters. Amen. From the womb and on. Every life matters. But this foolishness that's going on around our country is not right. I don't care what the motivation is. It's wrong. And for a child to say she hates her parents because they wanted to talk to her about how that was wrong, you see, her mind's no longer open. The simplicity is gone. You see, kids, it's not wrong that you're simple. You're supposed to be. You're young. That's the way it is. But we, as leaders, have been given a responsibility to be careful what we put into that open mind. These young people are sitting in classes where they have to go through LGBTQ sensitivity training, where they are day in and day out told that it's not a choice, it's biological. They're told that that after all, you can't say that it's wrong because they didn't have any choice in it. They were born that way. That doesn't line up with this, does it? God made Adam and Eve. But young people are being pushed this agenda. They have an open mind. They've got a compassionate heart. And they think, well, how can I be upset at this boy in school who claims to be a girl? He didn't have a choice. But he did. And a lot of times, it's mom and dad that are pushing that on him. It's foolishness. We got to be careful. The simple are easily allured and easily deceived. Listen, we don't despise the LGBTQ individual. But we ought to despise the sin. Just the same, Christian, as we ought to despise the sin of adultery. Just the same as we ought to despise the sin of fornication. Just the same as we ought to despise the sin of lying and cheating and gambling and drunkenness. But you see, there's a whole lot of sins we've got comfortable with. And we've got to the place where they're not that bad. But there's still sin. Let me just remind you that there's still sin. And we shouldn't be comfortable with them. Beloved, Proverbs 1, verse number 22 says, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity?" The question is posed, how long are you going to stay simple? Kids, adults, young Christian, old Christian, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? The Apostle Paul said, "I marvel that you are so soon pulled away, turned away. How is it that you are so easily deceived? How is it that somebody that goes to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Thursday night in a good Bible teaching, Bible preaching church for a number of years could all of a sudden leave their faith? All of a sudden get pulled into some false doctrine or some cult? How? Because they remain simple. They remain simple. Well, wisdom is over here calling. And foolishness is over here calling, and I'm glad you haven't responded to foolishness. But God doesn't want us to respond to foolishness. He doesn't want us to remain simple. He wants us to get wisdom. He wants us to get wisdom. I'm trying to help the young and the young in the Lord. If you're simple, you've got to be aware that there's two people calling. You've got a selection to make. Are you going to get wisdom? Or are you going to go the way of the wicked? Everyone in life starts out simple. Every new Christian is simple concerning the things of God and this battle, this war that we're in. But we're going to move from simplicity to wisdom or from simplicity to a scorner. We've got a selection to make. How do we help the young? How do we help the young in the church, the young in the Lord? How do we help our young move towards wisdom? Let me give this to you quickly and I'll be done. First of all, I want you to see that we disciple in wisdom. The Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it." We teach, we train. We've said the room of the young is open. It's roomy. It'll take instruction. They need training. They need somebody to show them the way. The young and the Lord here at the church need somebody to show them, hey, listen, we come to church on Sunday morning and we come on Sunday night and we come on Thursday night, not because it's required, but because we love God, because we need encouragement, because we need teaching, because we need instruction, we need fellowship with God's people. That's why we do that. And somebody's got to show them, hey, come on, come with me, sit with me in church on Sunday night. Hey, come on, let's go visit somebody that hasn't been able to be in church in a little while. Show them how to be a Christian. Show them how to act and live and dress and walk and do what God wants us to do as God's people. Somebody's got to show them. We train up our children. I spent several weeks talking about training in the family class, and training our children, how to train them. It's not just discipline them. It's not just demand of them. You train. You instruct. You show the way. Show what you expect. You train them. And it's necessary that we also discipline for wickedness. Proverbs 19:25 says, "Smite the scorner, and the simple will beware." Smite the scorner and the simple will beware. Beloved, you have to smite the scorner. You have to discipline sin. You have to discipline wrongdoing. You can't let that go. Here, Caleb, come here. Andrew, come here. You smite the scorner and the simple beware. Here, come up here, because they can't see how much bigger you are than me. He's getting to be a big boy. Now, it would bother me a little if my girl was this tall. Amen, Pastor Gus. But my son, he's bigger than me. He's getting to the point where he wants to flex his muscle. He wants to have a mind of his own. He wants to do what he wants to do. As a parent, it's my job to keep him in check. I can't start letting things go. He's simple, but he ain't stupid. And when I deal with him biblically, when I deal with him, as the Bible says, smite the scorner. When I take Andrew in the other room and we have a come to Jesus meeting, he goes and cleans his room. He says, man, I don't want any part of that. You smite the scorner and the simple beware. You can be seated. And beloved, we've got to do the same thing in the church. It's not comfortable. It's not nice. It's not. Listen, I wish every message I preached could be like this morning about the love of God and the saving of souls. But sometimes you got to smite the scorner. Sometimes you have to deal with discipline. It's biblical and it's required, and the right kind of pastor will do it in love, but he'll do it. And when you do it, what you do is you take all of the others that are simple, and they say, wow, this is important. Wow, I don't want to go down that road. I see the wisdom here, and I need to go towards wisdom, not towards foolishness. Does that make sense? So, beloved, we disciple in wisdom, we discipline for wickedness, and you direct them in the way. Look in Proverbs chapter 7, if you would. I'm just about done. In Proverbs 7, in verse number 6 through 8, verses I've quoted here, but he says, for at the window of my house, I look through my casement. A casement is it's like a lattice. It's some type of a barrier there. He says, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. You see, he was looking down, and he says, I looked down and I saw him going to her house. I observed where she was going. What we've got to do is we've got to observe and direct them in the way that they should go. We've got to know where they're going. We've got to know what they're doing. We've got to know what the young are involved in. Even the young in the Lord, and sometimes that takes the Holy Spirit revealing things. Can I tell you a story? And I'm just about done. I'm not going to tell you who to protect the guilty. But one time I was with a group of men. And we were all serving God, and we were having a great time serving Jesus. And I asked one of the men, I says, hey, do you have I don't remember exactly what it was. It might have been a phone charger or something like that. They said, oh, yeah, it's in my backpack. It's right over there. And then I went and got it out of the backpack and went and did what I needed. But the conscience of this man began to, he came to me later and he says, listen, I know you saw my cigarettes in there. He says, I know, I don't even know why I have them. I don't even like it. I need to quit it. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't see nothing. But the Holy Spirit does that, so that they'll grow. They don't answer to me. Nobody does, but we answer to God. And God uses our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to challenge us to take steps of faith. Somehow you might hear that somebody's going down a way that they shouldn't go, and beloved, we need to warn them. Kids, I know that your older sibling is not the boss of you. I know some other kid in the church is not your boss. But when some other kid in the church is trying to keep you from going down the wrong way, when some other, your sibling looks at you and says, you shouldn't be playing that, you shouldn't be looking at that, you know you shouldn't do that, Oh, I know your dandruff gets up and you get all hot under the collar and you're not the boss of me. Don't tell me what to do. You know why you get mad? Because the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart for the sin you're involved in. That's why. Don't get mad. Let the Holy Spirit turn you in the right way. The right way. The way that you should go. If we want to help the young of our church and we want to help the young that we have privilege of directing and leading, we got to disciple them. We got to discipline them. And we've got to direct them. Would you stand with me with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? I don't know where you're at, but I do know this. In every area of our life, it seems as though there's always that selection. On one hand, the foolish or the scorner is calling us, and on the other hand, wisdom is calling us. And you have a selection to make. You got a decision. You've got to decide which way are you going to go. Man, parents or kids, listen to the older, wiser direction that God has brought into your life. Let them show you the way. Make wise choices. Dear Lord, as we take a moment of invitation, I really don't know how you may have spoke to hearts tonight. I don't know exactly what decisions to ask for, but God, I pray that as you spoke to hearts, your people would yield to you and do what you want. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Have you been submitting to the foolish, as the foolish has been calling you? Do you need to make some decisions as a parent and be more careful about what you allow across the TV or on that internet or in those games? Need to make some decisions to protect your home?